Oftentimes, it's better to start with creativity to help you learn the facts.
Life is too short to learn a list of 1,000 rando words.
From the campus of Stanford University, this is Schools In with your hosts, Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope.
Welcome to Schools In. I'm Denise Pope, senior lecturer with the Graduate School of Education here at Stanford, and I am with my co-host, Dan Schwartz, who's dean of the Graduate School of Education. And because of COVID-19, we are broadcasting from our individual homes, practicing good social distancing.
It works for me. You know, I've always been kind of antisocial, so I'm just like in heaven. Not true. So Dr. Stay-at-Home Mom Pope.
Yes, for now.
So once upon a time, you had young kids. So how did you handle it when you had to stay at home?
Well, I worked full time for my sanity, but we did certain things to stay sane when we were new moms. And I think a lot of us joined new baby groups. And we had friends with kids with the same age, or maybe you make friends in preschool. And I definitely had a really strong group of moms. I mean, it could have been dads too, but it happened to be moms. And we would sort of stay after at preschool pickup and let the kids play on the playground, and the moms would talk and sort of get some adult conversation going. And we actually had a set play date every week on a Monday afternoon. And the kids, we did this for years, and the kids, as they grew up, the pediatrician would say to us, just don't intervene unless you see blood.
So as I've mentioned before, as a single dad with a very young child, and I think now my way I raise them is the same as I raised them before, which is just put them in front of the TV, you know, just go watch the TV. And, you know, and then once he gets sophisticated enough to say, Dad, look what you're doing to me, I'll say, that's the way I was raised, and I turned out fine.
Yeah.
I just happened to like TV more than people. But that was the...
So your message to all those young moms and dads who are out there during COVID-19, stuck in their houses with their kids, without able to socialize with
SpongeBob.
Their friends. SpongeBob. Dora. Now we're dating ourselves. Actually, yeah. I do want to give one little shout out to PBS Kids, because they... are really a nice way for kids to both learn and be entertained, so parents can do some work. And they're not internet-based, they're TV-based, so that's available to more people, even if you don't have internet.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I don't think I would have put my child in front of the TV all the time. I sort of saved that for like Saturday nights when I really needed to retain my sanity and get some dad time.
It's interesting because ours was Saturday morning. We, you know, kids get up so early, and all we wanted to do was sleep. So we just had this blanket rule, which was unlimited TV on Saturday morning. And we put, this is probably terrible that I'm admitting this, but we put a bowl of cereal and a little sippy cup of milk in the fridge. And so the biggest kid could open the fridge, just take the cereal and the sippy cup of milk. And it was unlimited TV till mommy and daddy got up.
Oh, no, I think that's good. You could justify that is that you were making independent children.
Exactly. They now maybe that's what led to my son's cooking expertise early on.
So actually, I don't know what I would have done had I been raising children right now. And in addition to sort of balancing how do I get my work done where I have the child at home, I just don't know that I would have thought of the right activities and the things to focus on. You know, I really relied on school a lot. But we are fortunate to have Professor Yelena Obradovich, who is one of the world's experts on early childhood. She's a professor at the Graduate School of Education, and I think she's going to help us think about it and if we're lucky, get a few tips for things we might try. So welcome, Yelena.
Hi. Hi, Dan and Denise. It's great to be with you.
So I have a question that I just kind of want to start out of the gate. So I think a lot of people are worried that, you know, my kid's not in school or in preschool for several months, and this is going to cause some developmental cascade that's going to follow them around for life. And my assumption is that is not correct, that losing a few months of formal education isn't horrible. The thing that would be horrible is if the children somehow got traumatized. So the parents are very stressed out and something, they start to convey their anxiety to the children, and that that could actually scar them. Whereas losing a couple of months, not so bad. So am I thinking about this the right way, or am I being too simple?
No, I think it's really important to kind of focus on making sure the kids are doing well. And what does that mean, right? There's so many resources right now floating around, you know, websites, links, that it can get really, really overwhelming for parents to find a time to negotiate through these links. And there was a very simple, suggestion by Child Trends, which is a nonprofit organization that kind of really summarized, I think, what experts think. And they proposed what they called three R's. And the first R is really just reassure children that they are safe. And that can look very differently across different ages. But I do think that for young kids, it's really important that we communicate that the adults are in control, that the adults are doing the best they can, that the adults are there to keep them safe and healthy. And so I think it's really important to stay calm and not panic in front of young kids. But with that, I think what Denise said, it comes, you know, it's really important that you take care of your own mental health, your own emotions, so that you can be that role model for kids. And then, you know, young kids understand germs and they understand viruses to some extent. And so giving them a specific thing that they can do about this. So whether that is, washing hands or keeping a distance from grandparents, but trying to really communicate that sense of safety and security. So that would be the number one thing that I think we can do for kids so that we don't traumatize them, is really communicate that they're safe and that adults are in control.
I like this idea that you also give the child some sense that they're in control, you know, that if they wash their hands, they're helping. That seems like
it. Yeah, that they're helping.
Yeah, and how they're helping.
They actually know the hand washing song. So it's actually kind of cute that the little kids got to teach some hand washing songs to the adults, right?
What's the song?
There's a lot of different songs, Dan, but the ABC song is over 20 seconds and you can sing Happy Birthday twice.
Oh, I see. I thought there's like a song about now rub your thumbs. Clean your fingernails.
For sure, Denise. In my home, I have a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. And so when we upped our hand washing routine, our preschoolers came and were like, we do this all the time at school. Like, what are you, like, introducing some novelty? Like, I am an expert. I know how to do this.
Right.
We wash hands for 20 seconds, you know, for the last 2 years.
Those preschool teachers are no dummies. They knew this before COVID-19, that's for sure.
Yeah. 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 So I really think, like, number one is this reassurance, because I do think parents should be honest and accurate. You know, if you have a relative that's sick, or if somebody that the kid know is sick, I think it's also important to be honest in saying that there are others, there are doctors, there are nurses, that they're doing, you know, the best they can, that they're getting the care they need. And so that balance of telling them as much they're curious, as much as they're realizing that things are kind of upended, and then also giving them something to help out themselves, I think is critical.
This is Schools In with Denise Pope and Dan Schwartz, and we're speaking with Yelena Obradovich about how to manage COVID-19 with young kids at home, how to reassure them and calm them down. And Yelena, I think you were going to tell us the next thing that was suggested, the next R in the three R's.
Yeah, the next R. I think the next R kind of goes hand in hand. You know, for kids who are young, they don't understand the time. They don't understand how much, you know, what is a whole week or a month or where we are heading. And so there has to be some sense of predictability, right, to help them with that sense of safety. And so that sense of predictability comes from routine. And again, you know, I've seen on my social media people posting all kinds of schedules that are like scheduled within an hour or 30 minutes, and they feel so ambitious. And I know from some of my friends who are parents that they feel really kind of overwhelming, and they may kind of induce more anxiety and stress in parents. And so I think what's important is that you don't have to have some super ambitious schedule that kind of mimics private schools or whatnot, but there has to be some sense of routine so that the kids know what to expect. And that could be just like playtime, you know, lunchtime, nap time, learning time, together time. And there has to be some kind of sequence that they know what's coming next. And I think that really helps kids, especially young kids who don't understand kind of the sense of time and how much time is passing, what to expect next. And so creating some routine, and if that routine starts at, 6 a.m. and that works for your family, that's great. If it starts at 9 a.m., that's great. So figuring out what works for adults and not making that routine be another source of stress or guilt, but rather be something that helps everybody get through a day. So I think that's really important. So a routine and creating free time to just play is how young kids learn. And so that's fine. We should create some spaces for them to do that. I also think, if one adult is overwhelmed with chores, I think kids love to participate in chores and be part of that home routine. Like just the other day, my husband, we kind of take turns who is with kids. And, he had all these clocks that were either out of batteries or wrong time. And so the kids and him just spent an hour just going around the home and like fixing all the clocks. And, kids loved it. They've learned something about time and batteries and fixing clocks.
These are great ideas. When I'm stepping in and I'm doing the routine, do I mark it to the child? Do I say, this is chore time? And then, each time it might be a different chore. Do I help the child segment so they realize there's a routine?
Yeah, I think so. You can say like start the day and say, we're going to start with the learning, and chores could be just part of learning, right? You're learning about life. You're learning about household. You're learning how to help. You're learning how to build Legos, whatever you want that. If you want to separate, building time or play time from chore time, you can do that. It has to be flexible and a little bit of fluid to give, not to be rigid, and to also be able to listen to the child. The child could be one day too distracted or too tired. And so being able to adjust that schedule is really important.
There's an advantage of being at home compared to school. So like at school, there's not a lot of flexibility.
Actually, Dan, if you think about preschool, what Yelena is saying is very much in line with how preschools operate, right? They learn through play. They learn by going to the water table or going to the rice table or doing this kind of craft project. And they have snack time, and they have, they sing the cleanup song at cleanup time. And
in preschool, if the child doesn't want to do something, the teacher backs off. Is that true?
Well, yeah, or redirects or suggests a different activity. Okay, we'll give you a choice. Do you want to go to the dress-up corner first, or do you want to go to the rice table? Well, the rice table is a little bit too full right now. Why don't we head over here? Okay. This is Schools In with Denise Pope and Dan Schwartz, and we are speaking with Yelena Obradovich about how to deal with schedules and learning with little kids at home during COVID-19. And Yelena, I love what you're saying about learning through play, because I think people, particularly with young elementary school students, maybe not so much with preschool students, are very worried. I had a mom say to me, my daughter is missing a third of kindergarten. Should I hold her back and have her repeat kindergarten? How would you answer some of those parents' concerns?
So I think there's a huge differences in terms of parents who have the time to, kind of create a almost in-home preschool and those that don't. And I think we should kind of consider needs of the both. I don't think anybody should hold their child back. I think kids are incredibly resilient and they're capable of catching up. But I do think there's different ways to create these opportunities for learning. It could be, if the parents feel empowered and they have time, they can create, kindergarten math when they bake cookies, right? So they can help children with, learning contrast as they are, just kind of doing chores or playing with their kids with Legos and whatnot. But I do think, there are those parents who are really stressed and struggling, and to tell them that, they should now run a preschool from home can be really overwhelming. And so I think I wanted to highlight another resource, and that is, I think you guys mentioned that at the beginning, there are some great educational programming, TV shows or iPad games that, kids could really, engage and learn some simple, whether that's ABCs or it is just how to regulate your emotions. PBS, you, Denise, mentioned, have some great programming. I want to give a plug for Daniel Tiger. I don't know if you guys have heard of the show, but it's really a wonderful way to teach kids how to deal with their emotions. And that can maybe lead us to our last R, but how to help kids, you know, calm themselves down, how to make sense of their feelings when they're frustrated or anxious or sad, or when they're, you know, too shy to try something different or new. So I think there are ways to also be able to take a break, you know, from feeling like everything's on you and you suddenly have to do your job and also be your child's teacher. However, I do think kids of this age really benefit from scheduled uninterrupted time with a grown-up. And whether that is like 5 minutes, that's all you can carve out, or 15 minutes or whatever time it is, I do think, you know, it's more important than ever to schedule that check-in and just be present without the phone, without distraction, without trying to multitask. And I know how difficult that is, to just listen to the kid and follow their lead. And so as much as that is possible or not, you know, stressful.
I've heard a number of schools that teachers are calling each of the children to have 5 minutes of undivided attention with the children during the day. I wonder if this is going to be something that sort of lasts beyond sheltered place.
Well, you know, people are getting really creative, because I do think there's one thing we should highlight here is that social distancing doesn't mean social isolation, right? And so I think a lot of people have asked, like, well, little kids need peers, they need to play. And so, you know, people have done this in a very creative ways. You know, we have neighbors or friends who live close by who would just walk by our house and then yell. And then we would open the window and they would chalk something down, you know, in front of our house. And even if it's like 3 minutes of, you know, chatting, it still feels like you're connecting with your friend, right? The other day we had a Zoom or FaceTime or, I don't know, Google Chat, one of these platforms set up with our preschooler who was playing Legos, with a friend who was playing Legos. And you have to remember at that age, sometimes they just do these parallel plays where they're like sitting next to each other, and then maybe one kid will say something, the other one will respond. But there's a good amount of time where they actually don't talk to each other, right? Even when they're in real time, you know, in the same space. And so it was incredible to see how much just having that kid in the background, sometimes reacting to what my kid was building or sharing, sometimes not, still felt like there was a social connection there, even though they were not in the same room. So I think that. It's really cute to see how they're developing themselves. Like, I have a second grader at home, and so sometimes they started initially doing these video chats, and, you know, I would get a text from a mom saying, I have a 600 photos of your child's hair on my phone. You know, like, and initially the interactions were very like slapstick. You know, they were falling off the chairs, they were trying to do all kinds of goofy second grader stuff, you know. Most recently, they totally by themselves developed a game where they each, do you know what Beyblades are? These are these things you kind of spin. And so each kid was spinning Beyblades on their own, and then they were waiting to see which one lasted longer, you know, and talking to each other, right? And so it wasn't really adult mediated, but they kind of figured out how to play, physically play, but via this video chat. And so I do think they are very creative solutions that kind of sometimes kids invent on their own. And at the same time, knowing when not to push that. You know, I also had a kid say, you know, I don't want this. I wanted my solo time. I want my quiet time. Like, I'm not interested in video chats. Like, I don't want more of them.
This is Schools In with Denise Pope and Dan Schwartz, and we will have more with Yelena Obradovich talking about young kids and what parents can do with early learners and toddlers next on SiriusXM after the break.
This is Schools In.
I'm not an expert at this. Okay. I'm more expert than you.
When you can't read in American society, you are really left out.
With Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope
from the campus of Stanford University.
Welcome back to Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. We are talking with Yelena Obradovich about what parents can do with very young kids, toddlers and early elementary school kids, when they are home with COVID-19 restrictions. And earlier in the show, Yelena brought up the three R's for helping
parents think about this. And one is to reassure kids and in a developmentally appropriate way, really help them understand why they're stuck at home and allow them to have some routine is the second R, where it doesn't have to be strict, but this is the time that we play. This is the time that we do chores. This is nap time. Get them on some kind of a schedule just so everybody knows what to expect. That's going to be very calming. And then Yelena mentioned the third R just briefly before the break, which is regulate. So Yelena, you want to expand a little bit on what regulate means?
Sure. So I think situations like this that can be stressful, and kids are really good at kind of feeling the stressors, even if they don't know what's happening out there in the world, they see it in their parents, right? And one thing first to note is that when kids of this age are sad or maybe even anxious, they may act out or they may look like, you know, irritable or clingy or having temper tantrums or things that you kind of don't recognize in your child, or you see those behaviors kind of a little bit regress. Some kids may not have a vocabulary to say what they're feeling. So even things like, I see that you're frustrated, or that sounds really difficult, or just putting those words, giving them an opportunity to label those emotions that they're feeling.
Yeah, and I think mommy sometimes has to regulate too. I'm thinking about the parents who are really struggling with this too. They're fearful, they're anxious. You know, a kid's going to do something that's going to just like set them off just because they're tired and stressed and they're not necessarily being their best parent. What would you say to parents who are struggling with their own regulation?
Well, I think it's, you know, important to emphasize that at that age, it's really about co-regulating, right? Parents and children co-regulate each other. And so I think it's really important to model those skills, right, to kids and say, like, mommy's feeling really overwhelmed right now and I need to take a break. You know, I love you and I want to help you with that, but I need to take a little bit of a break and then I will come back and help you with that, right? Or just really model saying how you're feeling, you know, without causing any concern, right? Going back to that, they still have to feel safe and that you're in control, but there's nothing wrong with saying like, I'm overwhelmed, I need a break, I'm going to take a couple of deep breaths, you know, I'm going to take pause and then come back at this challenge. At the same time, I think like going back to Dan's point about, you know, giving them an active role in this, I love asking my kids, you know, how big they feel a certain emotion. So it could be that they're mad and I will say, well, how big is your mad? And so then they can show you with your hands and they feel like heard when you ask them to tell you something. So maybe they weren't able to say that they're mad or they're frustrated, but they can definitely say that they're as mad as the world is big or as little. And then I like to ask them, like, do you want me to help you make that feeling be smaller? Do you want to shrink it, you know, or do you want to grow it? You know, maybe they're feeling really happy and very silly and it's okay to be silly. So you can say like, you want to make that feeling grow bigger. And so I feel like that's a nice way to engage young kids in, you know, participating in that self-regulation.
I actually love that they can show with their hands because I do think a lot of them are sort of pre-language and yet they understand, but they can't verbalize and they understand big and small with their hands. So I think that's a really nice tool that you just gave parents.
I think, you know, a gold standard that helps both kids and adults is taking deep breaths, you know, and it doesn't have to be some complicated mindful technique. It can be just taking deep breaths. You know, we often have this little tool where we ask kids to put a finger, their index finger, in front of their mouth and nose and say, pretend to smell a flower. And then you take kind of 3 seconds to inhale and then pretend you're blowing a candle. So then you kind of, you know, exhale for 3 seconds. So really giving them a couple of deep breaths can really calm a kid down. It can also calm an adult down. I think another strategy is just being physically active. So kids of this age need to get their energy out and, you know, you have to give them spaces when it's totally okay to be silly and crazy and run around, whether that is around the block, you know, around your home or just doing jumping jacks in your, you know, living room. But they really need that physical movement to help them regulate their emotions.
This is Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. We're speaking with Yelena Obradovich about how to handle young kids during COVID-19. And we were talking about some deep breathing and getting some movement in. And Dan, you wanted to add something?
I actually wanted to take a little bit of a turn for the last bit of the show. So this is more abstract. It's less tips. And this is when this is over, Yelena, how do you think things are going to change? Like, will there be new things that parents will be able to do that they couldn't do before? Will there be any silver lining to this in as we reach the recovery?
So I think I've heard a lot of parents talking about loving the opportunity to spend more time with kids, right? Again, this goes with the privilege and, you know, socioeconomic status that the family has. But, you know, a lot of parents are saying like, oh, my, I missed on so many things that our kids do at this age, and it's so precious. And I really appreciate being able to, you know, spend more time with kids. I think siblings are getting to spend more time with each other. And I hear a lot of families saying, you know, my kids are, you know, spending more time and becoming closer friends. Of course, with that comes, you know, more intense, you know, fighting and maybe jealousy and whatnot, but they're realizing these are their peers now, even if they're 2 or 3, you know, years different. I think educators are also, you know, learning better how to do this distance learning. And, you know, I think it will be interesting to see how much of that changes kind of educational systems as we move forward.
I was talking to a superintendent recently, and he is wondering, should he only have school at school 4 days a week and then have the fifth day at home?
I think I just heard a million parents scream. As wonderful as the extra time to snuggle and read and get to know one another, I think parents are really appreciative of teachers and of being able to send kids to school too.
I mean, that's another thing that's going to change, right? It's like, you know, a complete new connection between parents and educators. You know, they are now more than ever put in a situation where they have to work together, right? And they have to communicate and they have to align. And so I think hopefully capitalizing on that moving forward, because we know how much, you know, when the educators and parents are on the same page and working together, that that's better for kids. And so hopefully those homeschool connections will be stronger.
I hope that's right, Yelena. You've done so much for us today to reassure us as we reassure our children, help us regulate as we help the kids regulate. I think a lot of people are really grateful. So thank you so much for being on the show. And thank all of you for listening to Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. If you missed any of this episode, listen anytime on demand with the SiriusXM app, on iTunes, and on SoundCloud.
From the campus of Stanford University, this has been Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope on SiriusXM Business Radio. If you missed any of it, listen on demand, online, or with the SiriusXM app.